Jesus taught on prayer. His disciples asked him, said, teach us to pray. Most of us feel like we've got that down. We've had it down for years. Probably think that we know about everything there is to know about it. We've read books. We've listened to good sermons. We've read the scriptures. But I think that there's a whole lot more that we need to learn about praying. Because if you pray effectively, it brings great result. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Prayer is an incredible, incredible, wonderful privilege. Faith is taught outside of a prayer life. Most of it doesn't involve real intense, consistent praying. For 6 months, my Sunday night contribution was always ended up in prayer and encouraging intercession. I was talking to Kim the other day by phone, and she said we had a service, and there was just a few people there, but we prayed for you, and we prayed for your family. Brother Taylor told me, we prayed for you, Brother Bumble, we prayed for your family. And I said, thank the Lord. If you're coming here and praying, then there's power here. Amen. It has nothing to do with our ingenuity, our influence as far as size and scope of influence in this city, although we have a history in this city. And it's not a bad history. I've got a reputation for preaching the truth. Amen. And non-compromising truth. Hallelujah. Praise God. I've even been accused of being anointed. Amen. I'm kind of like Vance Havner. You know what Vance Havner said? He said, I think I preached myself out of many pulpits. I mean, he always told the truth as God gave it to him, so they were a little nervous about what he might say. I always say, don't worry about the preacher rocking the boat. Worry about the devil wrecking the boat. Can you say, man, I'd rather have the preacher rock it than the devil wreck it. Anyway, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. And he said, well, don't pray like they're praying, the religious crowd of that day. Don't pray like them. So to begin a teaching on prayer, Jesus said, you can't pray like that. You can't keep praying like that. Amen. He said, you have not in the book of James because you ask not. You ask and receive not. Not because you're not praying in faith. It's not a faith issue anymore. First, it's a faith issue. God is not the source. But he said, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss. You ask according to your will, not mine. God has a will in everything. Everything. And everybody thinks they know it exactly. When they pray, stand on the word. It's almost like, you know, I heard it years ago when this teaching went around of concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. We're going to command God. We're going to, oh, come on, get off of that. In the context it's written, it says, concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. That's a whole different thing, isn't it? He's saying, are you, the creature, going to tell the creator? Let me tell you something about God's ways. You may think you know it all. I meet people know it all the time. Amen. In fact, I wonder sometimes what my job is. So many people seem to know it all. Amen. I meet know-it-alls. I met know-it-alls for 40 years of ministry. They come through the church door. They know it all. They're ready to tell me. I say, God, why didn't you call them instead of me? For heaven's sakes, they know it all. Amen. They can't learn anything from me. They know it all. Honestly, they're there. You know what I'm talking about. I got some ameners back here. I'm going to preach to them tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. They know it all. They know it. They wouldn't say teach us anything. Amen. Because they know it all. I don't know it all. You know what he said? And I believe he means it. He said, my ways are not your ways. And my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are above your ways. As far, somebody say, how far? As far as the heavens are above the earth. So far are my ways and my thoughts above your ways and thoughts. So to me, prayer begins with surrender to the will of God. And God has a will in everything. And the great use of faith in prayer, where faith just explodes in prayer, is if we surrender enough to discover his will. Because the scripture goes on to say, if we ask anything according to his will. I have been chided and chastised for even mentioning, if it be thy will. Well, Jesus was the greatest prayer that there ever was. The greatest example of prayer. That's why they ask him to teach them. See, know-it-alls think they know it all, but I don't believe anybody knows it all. I believe God knows it all. I believe we live our whole life discovering things, but one of them is the will of God. Somebody said, well, if it's in the Word of God, well, it's rightfully divided Word. It's not just anything you pick and choose like a cafeteria. Amen. You can't have your way, but you can have His will. Nothing lies beyond the reach of prayer, but that lies beyond the will of God. Amen. Prayer will receive it in faith if it's in His will. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. It's not just a force within us. It's something we know about God when He reveals His will. If a mountain is in the way and God says, not so-and-so, not your own desire, but God says, that's in the way. I want it out of the way. Hallelujah. Then you know what He says? And tell it to move. Hallelujah. You have to know the will of God before you can tell that mountain anything. I saw a book one time on mountain moving faith, and I thought, that's probably a good book, but the problem is faith don't move mountains. Faith moves God, and God moves mountains. Can you say amen? So when the mountain is moved, you don't talk about your faith. You talk about the greatness and the might and the power and the goodness of your God. Hallelujah. Concerning the work of my hands, command you me. Are you going to tell me how to do what I have determined to do? You see, faith doesn't twist God's arm. It doesn't force Him to do anything. Faith literally allows the predetermined, and believe me, He has a predetermined will. If God has called you to missionary work in Africa, forget about praying for that building here. You can confess it all day long, but pray for a boat ticket to Africa. Hello? It's the confidence we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, we know. Everybody say, know that I know that I know. Wow. There's three no's here. I know that I know that I know. When you know that you know that you know, you don't back up anymore. Mountain gets in the way, you tell it to move. And it all begins with surrendering to the will of God. Amen. There's a lot of things I want. But God always has a will. And God has a plan. And you probably won't ever figure it out down here. I used to come home from work and my wife, you know what my doc did for relaxation? She did something for relaxation that would drive me crazy. She loved to do needlepoint. Needlepoint. Have you ever seen one of those hoops and you take all those different threads? Anybody here ever done needlepoint? You didn't? Drives you crazy, don't it? I don't have the patience for it. I couldn't paint by number. I just want to splash it all over it. I don't take number 10. So I would come home from work and I would look over. When we first got married, I'd look over there, and on the couch, there would be a needle point. It would be upside down, and all those threads, yellow, gold, black, blue, green, they're just dangly threads, just chaos. And I'd look at that, and what is that? And I'd go over there, it'd make me, I want to see something. And I would flip it over, looking at it from the backside, from our perspective. We can't figure out all that God is weaving into His eternal purpose. Do you know you can't figure that out? You know what He asked you to do? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And lean not to what? That can, you can't think on that level. I'm sorry to bust your balloon. Amen. You can't, your brain can't. Listen, if God doesn't spiritually reveal it to you, there's no way in the physical. You may be highly intellectual. I don't even want to know my IQ. You know why? Because if I find out, I don't know if this is true. I don't know if it's a scientific fact. But preachers used to use this as an illustration, and it probably isn't a fact. But the bumblebee, you ever seen the bumblebee? He's so big, he's got a little set of wings. Scientifically, he isn't supposed to be able to fly. Because his wings, compared to that big old bubble's body, is so disproportionate. But he don't know that, so he flies anyway. I just believe God can do anything with you that He wills to do. I believe God can do anything with me that He wills to accomplish. And it's not about my IQ. It's not about your IQ. I don't need to know that. It's not about my ingenuity, my intelligence. Amen. It's all about the Spirit of God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. An eye has not seen. An ear has not heard. And it's never entered into the heart of man. We're not talking about the heavenly city, the New Jerusalem. I've used that at a funeral. It'll work at a funeral. It's not in context, but it'll work. Eye has not seen. Ear has not heard. It's never entered into the heart of man what the Lord hath prepared for them that love Him. But Scripture's not done. He reveals them unto us by His Spirit. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 And when you get in a state of surrender, and you pray. See, I could pray, God, give us more people right here tonight. Well, I believe God wants us to reach people. But I know one thing. I meet with three pastors. I got to hurry. My time is running. And that, normally I have no time. But I'm in here where Brother Taylor's got you 6 months of time. So I'm on a time limit tonight. Put me on a time limit. I have to talk fast. And I will get into some Bible study if you give me another opportunity to do this as your guest tonight. But we will take it line on line, precept upon precept. But you got to get rid of your know-it-all. Can you say amen? If you're going to sit before a teacher, you got to get rid of your know-it-all. And you got to get rid of the guy on TV that is more of an influence to you than the Bible itself is. And his perspective or her perspective. Can you say amen? Some people have told me about somebody they saw on TV and got so much as sent me the tape. And the guy used to come to my church back when I first started. And I'm going to tell you right now, it sounds good, it looks good, but you don't know what I know. There's a behind the scenes. And what's making you jump up and down and say, I never saw anything like that before. You know why? I hope you've heard something of what you're going to hear tonight somewhere before. Because you listened to a know-it-all and now you think you know it all. And you know what? You're never going to say, teach me anything when you think you know it all. God can't teach you. I can't teach you. And you're going to stay in your spiritual stagnation, a state of immaturity. You're going to blame somebody for what you need to get straightened out between you and God. It starts with surrender. I meet with three pastors and the leader of a All-Pro Pastors, which is an international now organization. I've met for over 2 years with them, and they talked to me about ingenuity and things to do to try to stimulate this, that, and the other. And I talked to them about prayer and the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? And it took about 3 years for us to start sinking in. Takes a while. See, when you're talking to preachers, they know it all, didn't you? They know it all. It's like a little girl that said she come home, she's 7 years old, and her Sunday school teacher mentioned Jesus was our Redeemer. And she said, Mama, she said, what does it mean when it says Jesus is our Redeemer? She said, well, your daddy's the pastor, go ask him. She said, I don't want to know that much. Ask a preacher a question, you're going to get a sermon. Can you say, man, hallelujah. It's hard to teach know-it-all. There was a religious system so entrenched and in place when Jesus came, they flat thought they knew it all. And they wouldn't listen to Jesus when He came. Can you say, man, hallelujah. I want to get rid of the know-it-all. Amen. I know Him. and I know whom I have believed. But there's a whole lot I don't know. But he reveals what I'm surrendered enough to receive. I said surrendered enough to receive. I don't try to use my faith to get what I believe is best accomplished. God has a will. God has a purpose. And it's starting to sink in. I talked about door hangers and stuff like that, and we're going to do some things. It's not that we're inactive in our faith. We want to reach out to our community, but listen. Amen. This particular preacher for 3 years, he told me, he'd give me books, he'd loan me books, he said last Tuesday, we've tried it all. I've got 1,000 door hangers. That means you name your church and an invitation, you hang it on the door. He said there's a youth thing where they will bring in 2 dozen young people. The only thing they ask is you give them pizza. They'll work for pizza. I mean, they'll work for pizza. They're all teenagers. They're all stirred up for the Lord. They will come in. They will go with you into your community. And they will. And they went into the community behind his church. He's got a little church. They went into that whole community. And they went up and knocked on doors. There's a lot of 55 and older. And they knocked on door and said, you need your yard mowed. If you got a mower, we'll mow it. You need your windows washed, we'll wash them. Amen. They left a tract. They shared the faith. They worked on people's homes. And not one family came to church. He said, we've tried it all. I said, well, have you prayed? Well, see, that's it. Oh, yeah, we did that. Because we think, Lord bless it and send them. That's it. The Bible said Jesus spoke a parable to this end. Meant always to pray and not to faint. Paul said, pray without ceasing. Don't ever give up on prayer. When Peter was in prison, held over to be killed, the church went into prayer without ceasing. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? They didn't stop praying till he was knocking on the door. Hallelujah. They were so committed to praying, they wouldn't even hardly stop praying to let him in. Hallelujah. But they were committed to prayer. We've got a faith formula out here now. Amen. That it's a neat little faith formula. Based mainly on your confession or your commanding God what to do. I had one preacher that has a church that I could never dream of having. In fact, he has a church of 50,000 people. Everybody say 50,000. It's the biggest assembly of God in the world. I heard him speak. He spoke to pastors after his general service. And he said, you can't think big thoughts without a big desk. Where's the Holy Spirit? Where's God Almighty? I thought, boy, I got it now. I'm going back to Tampa, and I'm going to order me a desk, man. I want it to be solid oak. I want it to be... Man, I want to open those double doors and have to put Vaseline on both sides just to get it in the building. Can you say amen? Get me. Oh, yeah, that's going to do it. Listen, but see, he contradicted himself. Then he turned right around and said, if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, nothing would be happening. And I thought, well, then it's not the big desk, is it? And it's not your big thoughts. It's the Holy Ghost. And it's the great God that you're serving. Hallelujah. Now we're talking. Let's get down to business. Hallelujah. Now my ears are perking up. He said Billy Graham came and Oral Roberts came to his church. He said there are 3 chairs sitting out there. One is for me. One is for my guest. And one is always empty. And he said, inevitably, someone will ask me, what is that? And the one is said, no one can sit there. It's got one of those little pieces of tape you see at weddings. No one can sit there. He said, well, who is that chair for? He said, oh, that's for the Holy Spirit. That's for the Holy Spirit. If He doesn't show up, we're not going to have church. I can preach, but only He can convict. I can preach, but only He can open those spiritually blinded eyes. I can preach, but only He can draw men. Can you say amen? Woo! And Paul said, 13 of the 27 books, if you count the book of Hebrews, some debate about that. It really doesn't matter. It's all inspired by the Holy Spirit. Holy men wrote when they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Experiences that would make a Pentecostal drool. Hallelujah. Amen. Paul had them. And you know what he said? You know what he said? I will pray with my understanding. Sometimes we know. But he said, I will also defer to the Holy Spirit. I will pray with the Spirit. Can you say amen? The Bible said we don't always know it. If you know and know it all, you should buy this tape for them. Just don't tell them it's me preaching, because I got enough hate as it is. We don't always know. We don't. And then we get disappointed. And then we get discouraged. And then the very God that we need so desperately to move, we start accusing. Not directly, maybe. Maybe we wouldn't say it in those words, but we're saying it in our attitude. I prayed, it didn't happen. God has been unfaithful. No, He hasn't. God has said yes to you. God has said no to you. Our God has said something none of us want to hear. Not now. Yeah. Can you say amen? I don't like waiting rooms. The waiting room. You get to the doctor's office if you've got a doctor's appointment. It's 3 o'clock. They want you to get there. You fight traffic. You work. You weave in. You weave out. You race. You break the speed limit. And you get there at 3 o'clock sharp. And you come walking in and sit down. And guess what? 310, 315, 320, 325. There's a sign up where my wife goes to the doctor. He's a nice guy. He loves to talk to people. He's very personable. But you're going to wait when you go there. And it said, do not be impatient, because you will get the same considerate attention when it's your turn. Can you say amen? So just don't be impatient. And it's hard not to be impatient. I got a standing prayer. Lord, give me patience and hurry. Amen. You know what develops patience? Tribulation. The pressure. Hanging in there under pressure. We got a prayer thing going on here. And when we started praying, all hell literally broke loose. Satan fights what he fears. The armor of God is for the arena of prayer. That's where the battle is fought. Ephesians 6. Take you the whole armor of God. You're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities. Go ask Daniel if you don't believe it. Daniel prayed for an answer that's going to be... I got to hurry. My time is... I believe it's going to be a key to the salvation of ancient Israel. They don't believe the New Testament, but they have the Old Testament. Can you say, man? And there's a book that really starts corresponding to the book of Revelation. It's called the book of Daniel. I believe that, listen, after Daniel got the revelation, it was sealed up till the time of the end. Can you say, man, Israel won't get it until we get right into the end, the last of the last days. But they're going to get it. And I believe they're going to accept the New Testament based on what they see in the book of Daniel. Because it's all going to be occurring. Listen to me carefully. That was such an important revelation to that nation, preserved for this time, I believe. Amen. That Daniel, he had to pick a man that wouldn't pray and quit. He had to pick a man that wouldn't quit praying just because the answer didn't just come in. There are people on television and in pulpits now across America that seem to have this instant formula type of faith. that doesn't require, amen, commitment. It doesn't require devotion. Faith is a force within you, not a father above you. Amen. We have these neat little faith formulas for everything. And every time I hear them, I think of this machine. You want a snack, you put something in the machine, and you always got to put something in the machine. Amen? That's the first principle of everything. You got to put something in that sucker. You can press buttons all day long, but you put something in before something come out. And if you want, hey, what was it they got me for my pastor's appreciation? They used to have them in machines. I haven't seen them in years. Somebody found one, bought me one because I mentioned it. Lord have mercy. If I'd known that, I'd have mentioned an Escalade. Sell it and buy me two F-150s because you know you wouldn't park an Escalade in Walmart's parking lot. They're going to ding that thing up. You know what I'm talking about. Them buggies are going wild and the people are even worse. Hallelujah. Buy me two F-150s brand new. Praise God. Can't be accused of vanity either. They bought a goo-goo cluster. A goo-goo cluster. It's got peanuts and white. Got a white middle, vanilla middle, and chocolate on the outside. And I just mentioned a goo-goo cluster, and somebody brought me a goo-goo cluster. I eat that bad boy, too. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm a full gospel preacher. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. When you discover the will of God, when we surrender enough for Him to divulge it unto us and pray accordingly, this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we know that we have, amen, the petition that we've desired of Him. I know that I know that I know. Can you say amen? When you get in, I know that I know that I know. It's a kind of faith that doesn't doubt, hallelujah, that is powerful and strong, because we know what God wants to accomplish and we are praying accordingly. Can you say amen? And if there's a mountain in the way, we become authorized by God, hallelujah, Himself. If you say unto this mountain, honey, you got to be surrendered enough for God to divulge His will completely to you. And know-it-alls are never that surrendered. Know-it-alls are never that surrendered. Jesus wasn't a know-it-all in His physical manifestation. He said, my works, they're not mine. Here's the will of God. Listen, if I had Christ's anointing and I went down to the pool of Bethesda, everybody, I say, line up. I feel it in my hands. Come on, line up. Come on, line up. Jesus went to one man. Oh, wait a minute. God must have had some kind of will going on here. God must have had some kind of timing. God must be the boss. God must be the boss. Not us. Concerning the work of my hands, command you me. It's not concerning the work of my hands, command you me. Whatever you think should be done. Even with the right motive. It doesn't matter if it's the right motive. Come on. God's the boss man. Jesus said, the works I do, they're not mine. What I see my Father do. The words I speak, they're not mine. But what I hear my Father say. Can you say amen? If Jesus surrendered and said, not my will, but thine be done, then I believe it's a legitimate thing for us to surrender enough. Hallelujah. To surrender our will that we might discover God's will. But once we discover God's will, we say to that mountain, be thou removed and doubt not in your heart. How can you doubt not in your heart? Just by building your faith? No, by discovering the will of God through absolute surrender. The only way you can doubt not, this is I know comes from. Amen. If you ask anything according to His will. See, know-it-alls think they know it all. So they're not still searching for the will of God. They're telling Him what to do. They're not surrendered to it. There's a TV show. It's the epitome of what Jesus demonstrated as example to us. Father knows best. Can you say, man, the moment you say our Father, you got to get your will out of the way. Because after you say our Father which art in heaven, the very next verse, hallowed be thy name, the reverence, you're coming into the presence of a holy God. I love the way they put it back in the 60s when people got so casual with God, they lost the reverence for Him. The fear of God went out the window. And not, when the fear of God is used, it's deep reverence with awe and affection. We love Him, but He is God. Amen? So you start with the due reverence. And then you say something else. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Listen to this. This, before you make a petition, before you use your faith any further, before you ask specifically for anything, thy kingdom come. We're not talking about when Jesus comes and sets up His earthly kingdom in the immediate sense of that prayer. It's God's rule in your life. It's God's rule in my life. You know what a kingdom is? It's not a mystical thing. It's the rule or domain of a king. Amen. It's where Jesus is Lord. Yes. And when Jesus is the Lord of your life, His kingdom has come. Yes. His rule in your heart. Amen. As Paul put it, it's no more I that live. I'm dead, but I'm alive, but it's no more I that live. It's Christ that lives in me. Hallelujah. Thy kingdom come. Listen, thy will, not my will. When strange fire was offered in the temple, the reverence for God was gone. Eli's sons were making themselves vile. They lost the ark in battle. Shiloh was such a defeat for God's covenant people. Said the mention of the name Shiloh would cause a Jew's ears to tingle. It's something like September the 11th. It's something like Pearl Harbor to them. Only way worse, because not only did they lose the battle, they lost the Ark of the Covenant to the enemies of God. Now God took up for Himself when He couldn't defend His nation any further. But there was a young man serving Eli. He came to Eli. He said, Eli, when I lay in my bed at night, I hear a voice calling my name. Eli knew, because he was self-willed at that point. He was compromised as a priest. His sons were making themselves vile, and he didn't restrain them. But that surrendered young man that reverenced God heard God speaking to him. And Eli knew what he was hearing. And he said, son, the next time you hear that voice call your name, you respond this way. Speak, Lord. Thy servant heareth. Hallelujah. Everybody say surrendered. Glory to God. That's who is going to hear what the Spirit says to the church. That's who is going to be led by the Spirit. It's the fully surrendered soul, the fully surrendered heart, the fully surrendered life. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. You know what we've turned that around? Listen, Lord, thy servant speaketh. Amen? Amen. That's why we tried to twist the context of concerning the work of my hands, command ye me to trust. God don't have a clue. This same preacher has his big church. He spoke in contradictions and so I prove all things and hold that fast that is good. He said, I needed a bicycle when I first started preaching. That was my ride in this poverty-stricken nation. And he said, I was praying for that bicycle. And one day I was wondering, sitting there pondering at his big desk, I assume, why God hadn't gave him the bicycle. And he said, the Lord spoke to me. See, when you do that immediately, when you say that, even when I think that, I want to make sure. I want to make sure it lines up with the Word of God. I don't care if it's 50,000, 100,000. I don't care if it's an angel of light. I just want to make sure it's biblically accurate. He said, and the Lord spoke to my heart and said, I would have given it to you, but you didn't tell me what kind and what color. If your bike is your ride, what difference does it make what kind and what color? And do you think God says, you know, I don't know, I'm in a dilemma here. I want to answer his prayer, but he's got to tell me the kind. You got to command me. You got to tell me what to do. I'm at a loss unless you tell me what to do. God knows what to do. We're the ones that need directing, not God. Come on, God don't need that. God knows what you need more than you know what you need. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I'm so glad he's on the throne. I don't want to be on it. I'm glad he's at the wheel. I don't want to drive. Hallelujah. Woo! I don't even want to sit in the back seat and be a back seat driver and tell him how to drive. Oh, Lord, don't take that road. It's steep and bumpy. I'd be telling him, open the trunk. Put a quilt back there for me. Punch an air hole. I saw two dogs. It was the most beautiful picture. I think it was in National Geographic or one of these things. I saw two dogs. A guy took his. He had big old dogs, and he had a big old car. But he took two of those portholes like they make for boats, portholes that you latch down with these latches to keep the water out of his trunk. He had two of them on the top side of his trunk. And he had two of these big Labrador-looking dogs mixed with, you know, Labrador, too big. And he's going down the road and had the picture. These two portholes were flopped open on his trunk, and these two labs were just going like that. I have met, in over 40 years of ministry, so many know-it-alls. Pick up a Bible, get a little basic understanding of it, and think you know it all. And I want to tell the know-it-alls, go get you a church. Don't come around here where we know we don't know it all. For heaven's sakes, go get you a church. Go pastor it for 40 years. Can you say amen? Since you know it all. Obviously, God don't know much because all the pastors must be in the dark. And there's some of them that are crazy. Don't get me wrong. But they're not all in the dark. Because God said, I'll give you pastors, Jeremiah 3:15, after my heart. Not the ones you would pick, but the one I picked for you. And when you have one from me, they'll feed you with knowledge and understanding. Can you say, man, you won't know it all, but you'll know him who does. And you'll keep your trust in him. Amen. The Bible said, amen, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Listen, commit thy way unto him. You know what that means? Fully surrender. It means fully surrender. It means fully surrender. There's one thing about Jesus. He said, if you want peace and rest, take my yoke on you and learn of me. For I am meek. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit that just kind of threw out because, you know, it's kind of like Three Stooges. There's some things we just throw out because we don't think it's that important. They had just got an inheritance. Three Stooges. You know who they are, don't you? Amen? Amen? You do? Okay, I'm just checking. I mean, maybe. Okay, you done picked three out of the audience. Okay, just so you didn't pick me, it's just fine with me. Can you say, hallelujah, amen. Anyway, they got this big inheritance. Of course, you know they lose everything. They're going to lose it all. They're going to come get it all back. You know, they were making out their IRS thing, and Larry says, let's hornswoggle them. Amen. And we have an IRS guy here, and he wouldn't appreciate that. He comes to church. But anyway, amen. And he was going through his wallet, and he had all hundreds in there. All hundreds in his wallet. and he found a 50. He said, a 50? Rolled it up and threw it away. How'd that get in there? Chump change. Yeah. Listen, there's some fruit of the Spirit that is like it don't even count. Come on, we put faith so in the forefront that meekness, goodness, kindness, meekness. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in spirit, and you will find rest for your soul. I want to deal with yoke for just a minute. Yoke. When I first heard that, I saw what most people see. I saw oxen with their head in the yoke. I got my head in this side, and buddy, it's tough. But Jesus comes along and puts his head in that side. Now we're cooking. Amen. With Jesus, with me and Jesus, we could pull this thing. Listen to me. It's not talking about that. His yoke. What was his yoke? In the volume of the book, it is written, I came to do thy will, O God. Can you say amen? He made of himself no reputation. That's the hardest thing for God to use flesh and flesh not take credit for. Amen? I've read the brochures. Going to a Christian bookstore, whose face is on the books? It's not Jesus. 99% of them, Jesus' face is not on there because he's not the celebrity. I'm not saying, I'm not nitpicking. I'm just telling you. Amen? That preacher's face is on there. And it's a good photo. That prophet, that prophetess, this teacher. I do like what Billy Graham said about the memorial they built to him. He said, I felt like I'm dead already because they've already got this museum of his works and he's got off base. And I don't want to go there right now, but I can explain it to you. And they need to keep him sequestered until he goes on home now. Thank you for the amens. I can tell you about it. I show it to you. Come on, folks. I don't follow men. I follow Christ. I follow the Scripture. You violate Scripture, I don't care about angels talking to you. I don't care about the revelation or the dream you had. You can claim being led of the Spirit, but when the Spirit leads you, he will lead you into truth. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If it's not true biblically, I don't touch it. I don't want it. Praise God, because I know what the Bible has to say. And I know that God is faithful. Hallelujah. Amen. But he said there's too much about Billy Graham in this place. And not enough about Jesus Christ. And I appreciated that. There's too much, amen, people saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, instead of saying, I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And we need some people today that are sold out to Jesus. Hallelujah. Not swayed by personalities. Not even swayed by men and women's anointing. It's God that we need to put our focus on. It's his word. It's his son. It's his work. It's his will. Take my yoke upon me. When a sheep wouldn't stay in the enclosure at night, a young, headstrong sheep would break out at night. There's a lion waiting for that sheep to come out of that fold. Out of the shepherd's watch care. He's hungry. Satan goeth about his what? A hungry lion, a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for that one, headstrong, know-it-all, self-will. There's a wolf pack that's waiting for that sheep to get out of that protected area because the shepherd sleeps with those sheep. He's actually the door. He himself is the door. There's no physical door on it. He lays himself down at the threshold. You got to go over him to get to them. Stay in there. Praise God. Hallelujah. So they would take a yoke and put on that sheep. It's not like the oxen wear. This is about surrender. This is about surrender. Picture a bow for a bow and arrow. Two of them without the string tied together, pulled apart. twist around the sheep's neck. That's that yoke he's talking about. He goes up to the fence at the enclosure that he's been going through, but that yoke stops him. Stays in the place of safety and security. Take my yoke. Because Jesus said, it's not my work, it's not my words. And when he push come to shove, not what I will, but what you will be done. Everybody say surrender. The Bible said, let this mind. Oh, I got to close with this. Are you ready for a good closing? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ the Lord. And it starts with not letting your flesh take glory. Amen. Not doing anything for him for vainglory. Amen. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ the Lord, who though he thought it not robbery to be called equal with God, he made of himself no reputation. And he took on himself the form of a servant and became obedient even to the death of the cross. Therefore, he humbled himself, became obedient. Take my yoke upon you. I'm meek. I'm meek. I'm meek. I'm meek. I'm meek. When people come through that door and they're going to tell me what God showed them and told them, and they don't show meekness and humility, there's not a Christ-like spirit, forget about it. You can't talk my language. You're going to have to act different about me, because no one can convince me of anything like that without a Christ-like spirit. Amen? And I meet people all the time without a Christ-like spirit. Spiritual know-it-alls. And they want me to follow them, and they're not even following Jesus' pattern. And I don't do it. And I won't do it. He made of himself no reputation, took on himself the form of a servant, and became obedient to the death of the cross. Therefore, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name that is named, of things in heaven and earth and beneath the earth, that at the sound of his name every knee would bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord to the glory of God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 Meekness is not weakness. It's power under control. Everybody say, filled with the Spirit as we get ready to close. Everywhere in your Bible, without exception, where that term is used, full of the Holy Ghost, filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with the Spirit, everywhere, without exception, in the actual Greek, it would be rendered this way: filled with and controlled by. Say it with me, Phil. Come on, it's not enough just talk in tongues and get power. You got to be under supervision. Yeah. Hallelujah. And it's that control by. What happens when the Holy Ghost takes control, when you get filled up? What's the first thing he gets? What's the first thing? First thing that gives evidence that the power has arrived. Amen. The tongue. Praise God, he's in control now. Praise God, God is taking control. Mukana sanda da ba roshalaba isanda da ba kila nenda da boke salabari titianda. And it's not just for talking in a heavenly language, but it's talking in English, in American, and doing it requisite and right. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. God wants control. He wants to be the Lord of everything. Hallelujah. And when he's put in control, mountains are going to move. Walled cities are going to fall. Giants are going to be defeated, and great armies are going to be vanquished when God is in control. This one preacher I meet with, he said, we've had 5 families added to our church in the last 30 days because he started praying. And kept praying. He said, I got 1,000 flyers. We've did this, we've did that. He's had horseback rides. He's had cookouts. You wash your windows, come to church. When I went to the Holy Church of God, we didn't do nothing. But here they came. It's not that we don't do anything, but we don't depend on our energy, our ingenuity, but our intercession. One thing I did, Sister Ruth, I prayed. Amen. Because I wasn't confident in my preaching ability. I wasn't confident in a whole lot of things in myself, but I had some mustard seed faith in God. Hallelujah. Amen. And they begin to come. God added such as should be saved. Amen. He brought them. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. And we're here trying to qualify for that same move of God right here where we're sitting tonight. Amen. When God is in it, when God wills it, when it's in His timing, when we keep on praying. You told me something. They said, remember when we were talking about prayer and the mighty revivals around the world and God changing whole cities? Praise God. The men have come here that have what? Turned the cities upside down. And what did they give themselves to? Their great anointed ministry? No, prayer. Prayer and ministry of the word. Prayer first, ministry of the word second. Prayer and intercessions. Can you say amen? Oh, I got so much to say in so little time. Will you have me back sometime? Hallelujah. Praise God. I'd love to finish this. There's a lot more to be said. I feel God wanting to say something through me tonight by His word. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to see God move more than I want a big church. I want to see God move more than I care about my reputation. I don't have anything to crow about, but I have someone to tell you about tonight. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is still with us. He's still within us. Hallelujah. He still wants to accomplish something. He's not done. Hallelujah. I preached for over 40 years. We're smaller than we've ever been. I could retire and no one could call me a quitter. I don't mean retire from preaching. You know that. Lord have mercy. I'm talking about pastoring. They're two different things. I told my wife this morning, I said, you know, I don't know who's going to be here and who isn't. But I know one man that's going to be where he's supposed to be this morning. That's me. I'm going to be right where God assigned me, doing what He told me to do. And if He's in it, His anointing is going to meet me there. Can you say, man? And did it not? He was here today. I know because He wore me out this morning. I got home. These men are not drunk as you suppose. Can you say hallelujah? Praise God. I just flopped down. Hallelujah. But then I started praying about this evening and I felt it coming back. Praise God. And I said, Lord, You're so wonderful. You're so mighty. You're so good. Hallelujah. Will you stand to your feet tonight? We're going to pray. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. We're going into this community. I made arrangements for door hangers and it fell through, and that's okay. We're going to do it anyway. We're going to do everything we can to find somebody who wants to hear the word. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you something. Before we do anything, we are going to pray. And I'm going to tell you another thing tonight before this song plays and we dismiss in prayer. Really in prayer. The things that have happened here that have been so negative, it's because we prayed for a revival to come. And when God sent Jeremiah on his mission to speak to Israel, He said, I've not just anointed you to build up. He said, in fact, before you start building up, you tear down. I've not just anointed you to plant, but to pull up first. Shandarabakosandara. And I'm going to tell you by the authority of God's Spirit and His Word, there's some things right in here that needed to be broken. And it is painful, and it is pressure, and it is hard. But if God couldn't break it and then start remaking it, can you say, man, He could never answer the prayer for a mighty move of God. Amen. We've been through a sifting. You think God is going to send souls through that door to see families that are completely in chaos and out of order as the example? For those young Christians, can you say amen? To see people that show up when they feel like it and don't show up when they don't feel like it as their example, you think God is going to entrust spiritual babes to infants You don't leave a 5-year-old at home with your 14-month-old. Ask that 5-year-old, can you handle it? They'll tell you, yes, well, of course I can. But you know better, don't you? And you would be in trouble if you left that infant with that 5-year-old and that infant got harmed. God cares. Shalabakosandadaba, He's purging us. We ask Him for a revival. We ask Him for souls. He says, I want to get you down to commitment and dedication. Somebody that's going to walk this thing out. Somebody that's going to represent me in my kingdom. It's painful. It's pressure. But it is an answer to prayer. Come on, it's painful and it's pressure. But it's not all the devil. It's God shifting us and purifying us and purging us. And I'm praying for every backslider that has backslid to come back and come back stronger. But not to come back like they were before they backslid. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You ask me. You ask me, saith God. You ask me for a clean heart. You ask me. You ask me. Ye lava kosanda da bari shanda da ba kosanda da bara le kalaba hosanda da ba ketianda da ba sataya. You ask me for souls, saith God. Me kalaba silaba silaba rindi leanda da ba hosata ke lava sitianda da ba ke lava sitianda da ba sata me kalaba solaba rianda da ba ke shalaba rianda. Let me tell you, it would be better people backslide and realize their true spiritual condition than to come here and play church and be a stumbling block to one of these little ones. Jesus takes that so personal. Amen. He said, if you're a stumbling block to a little one, it would be better that a millstone be hung around your neck, take you out in the middle of the ocean, and cast it overboard with you tied to it. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. If you want revival, God's going to deal with the sin in the church. He's going to deal with the sin in the camp. The concealed, covered up. Amen. But let me tell you something. Be sure. Sin will always find us out. It will come to the surface. Can you say amen? And it did. And it has. And it's still coming. But I'm going to tell you what the antidote for it is. When we repent, when we return to God, He returns to us. Can you say amen? And when God returns to us, how will we know it? Oh, honey, you'll know it. Can you say amen? He will manifest Himself. He will move. Prayers will be answered. People will be saved. Bodies will be healed. Families will be put back together. Wow. Woo! So we're here to call on the Heavenly Father. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Here it is. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. How many want to be surrendered tonight? You want to be surrendered. Come on, you don't want to be a know-it-all. You want the Holy Spirit to truly begin to move in your life in a fresh new way. Amen. You want to make a fresh commitment. You want to be surrendered. You want to be surrendered. You want to be surrendered. Let's let that play for a moment. We're going to pray and intercede. Please don't ever quit interceding. Mokolabasilia. Koloboroshandarabasitia. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Kelabasiti anda da bokosa, selabaketi anda da basa. Father, we love you. We praise you. We praise you. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Let the Holy Spirit move you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't believe in accidents. I believe I'm here Because this night, this is where I'm supposed to be. And I believe you're here because God sent you tonight. God wants to do something big in our lives.
Today,
Jesus. Jesus.
We gather here to pray.
Yes, we do.
Hear our cry.
Hear our cry.
Lord, we need your mercy.
Yes.
And we need your grace today.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Hear us as we pray. Our Father,
you know the song.
Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our Father, hear us from heaven. Forgive our sins, we pray.
Jesus,
hear our song.
Hear our song.
As it rises to heaven, may your glory fill the earth.
Your kingdom come.
As the waters cover the sea. Jesus, see our hearts.
See our hearts.
And remove anything,
yes, Lord,
that is standing in the way.
Are you willing? Are you willing?
Of coming to you today. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our Father, hear us from heaven. Forgive our sins. Hear our prayer.
Hallelujah.
We are your children, and we've gathered here today.
Yes.
We've gathered here.
My house shall be called a house of
prayer. Hear our cry. Oh Lord, we need your mercy.
We need your
and we need your grace today.
Jesus,
hear us say.